Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Yeah, I do say that often, don't I? This is Richard Lannan, your host of Set for Success. Now, what are we doing today? Well, I guess what we're going to do is we're going to continue that journey we've all been on. You know, the journey of your life, of your business, to create a roadmap to maybe change your business, your career, and life in some way. I love it that we chat with one person at a time to uncover their lives, their business, and their journey. And hopefully we can all grow as a community and change. Today's success quote, acceptance doesn't mean resignation. It means understanding that something is what it is and there's got to be a way through it. Michael J. Fox. Now, if you don't know who Michael J. Fox is, well, to be honest with you, he's an excellent Canadian talent export. Yeah, I did say that. Excellent Canadian talent export. He became widely known as Alex Keaton on the popular sitcom Family Ties. He became big in Back to the Future. You know, the movies, those three movies, Back to the Future, Michael J. Fox. And a highly successful TV series called Spin City, Michael J. Fox Show, and The Good Wife. In 1999, Fox was announced that he had Parkinson's disease, that he was battling Parkinson's disease. So he left Spin City, launched Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research, and focused on his family. You see, Michael had an life-altering event that did not stop him from doing the best that he could do and to make a difference in people's lives. Acceptance doesn't mean resignation. It means understanding that something is what it is and there's got to be a way through it. There has to be a way through things. I suspect that even you, the listener, right now can come up with examples in your life where you've had to work through things. And I suspect my guest today is very interested, or you all will be very interested in my guest today, because he's had an interesting early life, he's won a race, and he wrote a book titled Perseverance, The 7 Skills You Need to Survive, Thrive, and Accomplish More Than You Ever Imagined. Welcome my guest to the show, Tim.
Good morning, Richard.
morning. It's actually evening for us right now.
Oh, well, you know, I'm lost in my time of day as usual. Now, Tim, I'll blame Parkinson's.
You blame Parkinson's. Well, okay, you can. That's okay. Now, Tim, I actually didn't use your last name intentionally because you are actually an amazing guy. Didn't you win a race at one point in time?
Yes, Richard, my son and I, the Tims, won the Amazing Race Canada season 1.
Season 1, you did. And that's become a very important story about your life, or part of your life anyway.
Yes, it's become very important, a very exciting, fun, thrilling part of our story.
And adventurous in itself. Before we get started and everything, I mean, my guests know that I usually like to ask, and my listeners know this too, just to sort of get the guest to tell them a little bit about yourself. So why don't we sort of start off in a very sort of personal level and just sort of talk a little bit about yourself before we actually talk a bit about your book and the other experiences you've had in life.
Sure. Well, Tim Haig, 53 years old, married to Cheryl for 32 years now.
Congratulations.
And to you, I understand you just had your 25th.
25th wedding anniversary, yes.
Congratulations.
Just we've been together 31, 32 years, but
yeah,
25
well,
years
you're
married.
In for the long haul as well. Good for you. 4 children, Tim Jr., of course, Jordana, Carter and Eleni, a set of twins that rounded it out. We weren't quite brave enough for 4, but we got 4 on the 3rd try, so... Very happy about that. A grandfather, Tim Jr., has 1 little girl, Ella, who is 2.5 years old and God's greatest gift to mankind.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah. No bias there, right?
No bias whatsoever. I am a nurse, retired nurse. Now I nursed for 21 years, most of that being at St. Boniface Hospital. Loved that place. Great, great career there. I am a professional speaker now and a Parkinson's advocate, along with, like you said, newly... formed author.
Yeah, newly formed author. Yeah. So you started off this book. I'm curious as to the journey of the book called Perseverance. When did you really sort of start thinking about writing it, or the first idea came along? Because writing a book's a journey, and it's never just that sort of 6 months or 12 months or whatever to write down the actual content. It takes a little bit longer than that.
That's right. Now, I'd always kind of had in the back of my mind that my life story might be of interest, it might be fun to write, but it wasn't until the race happened and we won and then the phone started ringing and I started speaking. And as I started looking at a speaking career, professionals in the industry started saying, if you're going to be successful in this, you need 2 things. You need a book and you need a website.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I think I've got an interesting enough story, I'll write a book. I've got a website, so let's do the book. So, Richard, honestly... I figured I would self-publish, I would have my 12th copy sitting in the corner, and I'd be able to say I wrote a book. I had no idea that Penguin Canada would come along and buy the doggone manuscript.
That's absolutely amazing. You know, you're actually one of the first authors I've met that can actually pinpoint that they're not self-published, but they have a publisher behind them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I consider myself extraordinarily blessed by it. People have asked, how did I get here? I don't know.
Mm. Now, from what I've read in your book, and I've gotten to know you a little bit too, Tim, yeah. You're a man of faith.
I am.
Yes, why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, Dad was a preacher. I grew up in church.
Almost sounds like a song. Go ahead.
And yes, my faith is very real and very important to me. And it undergirds most everything that I think about. It certainly frames my thought process. And it gives me the hope, the strength, the courage that I need to get through this other aspect of my life that is Parkinson's.
Yeah. And for our listeners who may not know, and before we go to break, could we get like a definition of what Parkinson's is?
Yes. Parkinson's is a chronic progressive neurodegenerative disease that results in the decreased production of dopamine in the substantia nigra portion of the brain.
I think I've read that in your book, or I saw you speak that one time, because I've seen you speak a few times.
Yeah. I use that sentence just because it makes me sound smart.
Yeah, it does sound very intelligent.
Yeah, it sounds really good, but here's what Parkinson's really is. It is chronic. It's not going to go away. It is progressive. It will get worse. It is a neurodegenerative disease of the brain. It's a nerve disease of the brain that results in the decreased production of a chemical called dopamine.
Yeah.
Dopamine is not only our happy drug, it gives us that runner's high when we're running.
Yeah, we all sort of nice to have sometimes, yeah.
Yes. But it's also tasked with our movement. It controls our movement. So without that dopamine, we end up with that classic tremor that people see.
Yes.
Along with rigidity, then slowness, loss of balance. Those are the four classic symptoms of Parkinson's disease.
So I think what we can do is maybe take a short break and we'll come back and we'll talk a bit about Parkinson's disease and then we'll slide into your book. I'd like to talk a bit about your early life too.
Sure.
This is Richard Lanfer, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's Richard Lanfer, Set for Success, and I'm talking to one of the two Tims who had won an amazing race, Tim Sr. is here with me right now. And just before the break, we were talking about Parkinson's. Now, Tim, you said that Parkinson's disease has four parts to it. I think it was four parts. So what were those four parts again?
Tremor, rigidity or stiffness, slowness, and loss of balance.
Okay.
And those are the four classic motor symptoms, we call them. There's a whole myriad of other non-motor symptoms that go into it. And for me, one of the primary struggles that I have with Parkinson's is the cognitive piece.
Okay.
Just that piece that doesn't allow me to multitask anymore. And that's the piece that actually cost me my job and time. Just the inability to take a management position in a hospital of having 75 employees and all the things that go on in a busy surgical ward and manage that. And I simply couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So, and how long ago was that?
That was a little over 2 years ago now.
A little bit over 2 years ago, eh? So I don't know if this is the right question, but when did you start to notice that you couldn't do the multitask capabilities? What was the sort of the signs?
I would just simply get overwhelmed at work to the point of non-functioning, sitting at my desk, in tears some days, unable to sort out the myriad of things that needed to be done. And I just couldn't do it. And at some point I had to realize that my job, people's lives depended on my job, and I needed to take responsibility for that and step back before something untoward happened.
Yeah, and given the fact that you were in a surgical ward managing 75 people, that was quite a significant realization.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would not be easy. I know that you and I have talked about Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And I know the story about this personally because I've had the opportunity to have you over to my place for a barbecue and stuff. But how did you notice that? When did you notice that Parkinson's was a possibility in your life?
Well, because I was a nurse in August of 2010, I was literally sitting in my kitchen one day and noticed my left toe twitching. My father died with Parkinson's. I had have a half-sister who has MS. Mm. I knew right away it was likely one of those two things. And so from there, we tracked it through with the docs. And sure enough, in February of 2011, I was diagnosed formally with young onset Parkinson's disease. Now, as difficult as that is, Parkinson's has also been a fabulous blessing in life.
Which is an amazing perspective to actually have.
Well, I think it's a good business perspective. I think it's a good life perspective.
Okay.
Because I have no choice in the fact that I've been given Parkinson's. And you look at everything that my life has been and all that I have been given and all that I've been given because I have Parkinson's, I can't come to any other conclusion than that this is a blessing.
Hmm.
I mean, I got on the Amazing Race Canada because of Parkinson's.
Yeah.
My wife told me at the very beginning, she said, I guarantee you will get an interview because they've done all kinds of interesting backstories, but they've never done Parkinson's. Having got on the Amazing Race, winning that crazy lottery, we somehow survived the race in spite of Parkinson's and won the doggone thing.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing in itself because if I recall, now my wife and I are fans of the Amazing Race. If I recall, I knew you before I knew you. This is funny.
Mm-hmm.
But if I recall, you guys were always last.
Yeah, we sucked.
You sucked pretty bad. I think a lot of people were on your side, but I think you sucked.
Yeah, we proved, well, in the end, it was that classic underdog story.
Yeah.
That come from behind Cinderella story that nobody expected.
Yeah.
And it made for beautiful television in the end. But first, we had to go through 9 legs of sucking before we got to that leg 10 where it all came together.
Yeah.
And life has continued to be like that. From the race evolved the speaking career that I have the opportunity to speak across North America dozens of times a year, all because of Parkinson's.
All because of Parkinson's, yeah.
This book has its birth because of the race, because of winning, because of Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And when you look at the totality of my life and all that I've been given and stack that alongside Parkinson's, it's pretty rough at the end of the day to realistically, rationally say, I've been cheated. Because my life has been incredibly unfair. When you look at the vast majority of people in this world, and how the vast majority live outside of North America, I have been given far, far, far more than most will ever imagine being given.
On a total totality of life.
Yes.
Sorry, I can actually say that word. I have to pause for a second. You know, it's amazing that you'd have that perspective because I think when somebody has a life-altering event, they can sort of collapse in on themselves, mm-hmm. if that sort of makes mm-hmm. sense, right? And isolate themselves, but yet you've sort of put yourself out there.
It's very easy to withdraw.
Yeah.
And especially with Parkinson's, it's a very public feeling disease. It makes you feel like everybody can see you shaking.
Yeah.
Everybody sees that you're slow.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that you stumble with your thinking every now and then or with your words, and it feels very public. And so it can be very tempting to withdraw. And I don't think that's just with Parkinson's, but that's lots of things. We tend to want to withdraw from life. And we have to stop and realize, I have far more than most. One of the things that Cheryl, my wife, and I do, we're ambassadors for Compassion Canada. We've had the opportunity to travel to Nicaragua, to Colombia, some of the poorest nations in the world. There's no comparing my life with Parkinson's to any of the people that I've witnessed living in poverty. There's no way I can be anything but grateful, even with Parkinson's thrown into the mix.
That's an amazing, amazing perspective.
Well, thank you. But I think it's one that we have to learn.
Yeah.
We have to learn, especially if we're going to persevere and be successful in life, because we tend to get lost in the Parkinson's. We tend to get lost in the things that's been taken away.
Yeah.
But there's so much that we've been given that gives us opportunity, that gives us impetus to be more than like I said, 95% of the planet would never dream of having what I have. Or they might dream it, but they'd never have any hope.
Never have any hope. We're going to take a short break, Tim, and when we come back, we'll talk a bit more about this and about the incredible way that your book drew me in from page one. This is Richard Lanfer, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with one of the Tims. And Tim, we were talking just before the break. I mentioned that I had the opportunity to read your book and go through Perseverance, the 7 skills you need to survive, thrive, and accomplish more than you can ever imagine. I'm a big nonfiction reader. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of my sisters sometimes says to me, well, you don't really read. I just don't read a lot of fiction. But yeah. I read a lot of nonfiction. And I'm always fascinated by communities, by groups, and by individuals' lives. One of the things I find that when I first pick up a book that somebody's written that's about their life, it has to draw me in. And yeah. I was saying to you during the break that yours drew me in. I found that your early life story to be incredibly fascinating. And you and I have been friends for a little while, and you had stuff in there that I didn't know. So now I know.
Yeah.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit about your life. I mean, you were raised or born in, was it Texas?
Well, I was born in Texas. Yeah. I was raised in Kansas, and I grew up in Winnipeg.
There's the three, right?
As I like to say.
Yeah.
I was 24 years old when I moved to Winnipeg. I've been here for 28 and a half years now. But I like to say that I grew up here because this is where my life really came together. But early life was one of the lotteries that I talk about winning in life. I was born in 1964. To a 20-year-old white girl who was pregnant by a 30-something-year-old married black man in Iowa.
And she was part of her church or something, too, if I remember correctly?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, in 1964 in Iowa, that just wasn't going to fly.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the world was a different place back then. So she was packed up and sent off to Texas to have me and give me up for adoption. And they literally had no idea what to do with me because this particular home had never dealt with a biracial or half-breed baby boy before.
Yeah, in 1964, I mean, you used the words biracial. I mean, that would have been a major taboo.
Well, not only taboo, but folks just didn't know what to think of it, what to do with it. Didn't really even know what you were talking about. And so the thought of adopting me was incredibly difficult. But that first lottery win for me came along with mom and dad.
Yeah.
A white couple from Kansas came along and not only adopted me, but 5 more.
Yeah, and all kids from
mixed race. All of us were half white, half black, except for one, and he was Latino. And that was an addition, so that's 6 kids, and that's an addition to the 3 that they already had.
Yeah. One of the conversations that we've had over time is the challenge, I don't know if the word challenge is correct in your life, from being a mixed race. Is that okay to say it that way? Because you and I have talked about not being white, not being black, and being, I guess, brown. And so that's been a personal conversation we've had. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Sure. I mean, growing up in Kansas City, the N-word was thrown around lots.
Sure. Sure.
There was always lots of opportunity to try to figure out where you fit in life. I like to tell the story of how I grew up trying to figure out what color my girlfriend should be. Because you're always a little too white for the black man's daughter, a little too black for the white man's daughter, and the wrong shade of brown for the Latino man's daughter.
Well, there you go.
So you had lots of opportunity to figure out where you fit. But the good news for me was I always fit at home.
Oh, yeah, that's right, with your parents.
Parents always loved us, never left us any doubt in our minds that they loved us wholeheartedly. And then I had 5 more brothers and sisters who were just like me. Hmm. So as rough as life could be, and it could be really rough, I had an incredible community called family of these mixed-race mutts, as I like to say, who hung out together and made life together.
What do you think is the lesson you learn from a perseverance perspective, being raised in a mixed race family? And by the way, your parents were white.
Yes.
Like, I mean, your adopted parents, right? So let's put some context around this.
Yes. Right.
in 1960s, right?
So 1960s, 70s. Yeah, they took a lot of grief for having adopted these kids. But from a perseverance standpoint, you learn to make it. You learn to stay in for the long haul. You learn as time goes on that you will come out the other side. You will find the girlfriend. You will find the beautiful wife of 32 years, blonde, blue-eyed, very fair, I might add. Life works out. But the key is, you have to stay in the race.
You have to stay in the race.
Yeah. You have to stay in the race. There, and you can check out in any number of ways. I've met lots of adopted folks who have checked out in anger.
Yep.
Who have checked out in any number of unhealthy fashions and got stuck in the poor me state. Oh, well, I don't have this. I don't have that. And stopped focusing on the fact that you do have good parents. That they are no more perfect or bad, generally speaking, than most. That we never had a whole lot, but we had food on the table. We had clothes on our backs. And I had a home rather than an orphanage. And instead of ending up a drug-addled convict long since dead, I was given a good, good shot at life. And so there are lots of things I don't know about my upbringing, my former life, that being my father, some of my genetic history, et cetera, et cetera. But there are many, many, many good things that I have been given. And so the perseverance comes in acknowledging and realizing all the good we've been given and living in that rather than getting stuck in all the things that I don't have.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. One of my favorite, I have a bit of a life story for you to share. This was probably in the late 80s. I was out for a walk one day, one Sunday morning, and I don't know, I was contemplating what I was going to do, right? Mm-hmm. And so I walked by a church, and at that point in my life, I was not going to any churches.
Oh, yeah.
So I walked in just on a whim, we'll say on a whim, okay? And one of the best sermons I've ever heard in my entire life was about perseverance and determination.
Oh, looky there,
right?
Eh?
And those two key words, that's cool. Those two key words have stayed with me all my life, determination and perseverance. Hmm. The willing to, I almost cannot put the word perseverance down without putting the word determination next to it.
Well, it takes a lot of determination to persevere. Because sometimes folks think of perseverance as, excuse me, just don't quit.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more that goes into persevering than just not giving up. There's a lot more that goes into it. And determination is a good word to go alongside of it because you have to be determined at times to stay on your road, to stay on your path. I mean, we don't get to 32 years in a relationship without a little bit of determination and perseverance.
No, a lot of peaks, valleys, and detours there.
Yeah, and I love my wife, and if she's listening to this, it's all good, sweetie.
There you go. I often say peaks, valleys, and detours, and the other one is good, bad, and the unexpected.
That's right.
All these things sort of happen when you're in long-term relationships and that.
And that's, whether that's marriage, whether that's with your kids, whether that's your business, if you're not willing to persevere, you're never going to get lucky.
That's an interesting way to put it. Yeah. So it's luck. Maybe we can talk about that. We'll take a short break and we'll come back and we'll talk about where luck comes from.
Okay.
This is Richard Lamb for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm hanging out with Tim Haig. We're talking a bit about Parkinson's, a bit about his book and that. Just before the break, you mentioned about luck. And where does luck come from? What is luck?
Well, I'll give you an example from The Amazing Race. Yeah. People told us how often we were lucky on the race. And they were right. There's no doubting that we were lucky on the race because we hit two non-elimination legs, should have been sent home, but they were non-elims, had an extra task to do the next day, managed to make it through those, survive, and go on and win the whole thing. Well, I can count on one hand how many times that happens. We were lucky.
Hmm.
But before we ever left on the race, my dear wife again told us, pay attention.
Yes.
There's going to be something you need to know on the race, do, remember, repeat at the end of the race, pay attention. And we did. And when it came to the flags and flowers, the very last challenge of the day, we had noticed right at the beginning of the race, the flags and flowers showing up along the course. And we memorized them and we were ready for that task. Now, my point is that people often told us how lucky we were, but we were not lucky when it came to the flags and the flowers. We had paid attention. We had stayed in our race. We had overcome difficulty, leg after leg, in spite of the fact that we sucked, and no one would have been surprised if we'd gone home at any point along the way. We stayed on the journey, we persevered, and when it came to that last task, it was all about skill. Hmm. It was all about the fact that we knew what we were doing, we had worked hard, we had paid attention, and we did in 2 tries in 10 minutes what the other 2 teams never completed. And I take this lesson to life. So many times people look at others who have been successful and talk about how lucky they are. I look at the journey those lucky people have been on. And so often they have stayed in their race. Hmm. They have stayed on the journey, regardless of how difficult it has been, regardless of how ugly it has been, regardless of how much they have sucked along the way. They stayed in their journey, and strangely enough, the harder we work, the more I stay focused, the more I stay on my path, the luckier I get.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is.
It is. Author of Perseverance, The 7 Skills You Need to Survive, Thrive, and Accomplish More Than You Can Ever Imagine. You can ever imagine. Hopefully I got that correct. Mm-hmm. If somebody wanted to connect with you, Tim, how would they go about doing that?
TimSenior.ca. You can find me there, and all my contact information is there. You'll see a little bit of what I'm doing from a speaking standpoint, and you'll find information on the book launch that'll happen at McNally Robinson here in Winnipeg on May the 15th.
Yeah, so that's something you should check out. Couple of questions for you.
Sure.
Okay. If there was something you wanted to achieve at this point in your life, what would it be?
The biggest thing that I'm working on right now is our charity, U-Turn Parkinson's. And you can find information on that at uturnparkinsons.org. It is a wellness center for people living with Parkinson's in Manitoba, who we want to help live their best despite having Parkinson's disease.
Does the wellness center exist already, or is this something new?
It exists in the form of boxing classes, yoga classes. We're starting a choir. We've got a number of ideas and things on the go. We've got some fundraisers coming up for it with the goal of doing some hiring for staff this next year. But the goal is to be a wellness center. Think refit center, only on scale,
yeah,
for Parkinson's.
For Parkinson's.
And to see people's lives change for the better and live their best despite having this disease.
Yeah. If you could avoid something in your life, what would it be that you'd like to avoid?
Parkinson's.
That's an obvious answer, right? Yeah, maybe I shouldn't ask that.
If I could avoid something in life. What? The thing that I work hard to avoid right now is stress.
Okay.
Stress, and I tend to work too much. I tend to take on too much. So I'm trying to learn the lessons of not doing too much, because the more I do, the less rested I am, the less peace there is, and the less rest and peace there is, the more you shake, the more Parkinson's symptoms you have.
Wow.
So Parkinson's is teaching me slowly, because I am thick-headed, to simplify my life and to be more focused and more deliberate in what I do.
Okay. I think that's actually a great response. I mean, one of the challenges is, you know, whenever you experience any kind of, I'm going to call it life-altering event,
mm-hmm,
as how do you minimize stress?
Mm-hmm.
Often in our society, we're so programmed to do.
That's right.
Achieve, accomplish, right?
That's right.
But yet you've got to almost just accomplish more with less.
That's right. Hey, that's exactly the way I put it in the book.
Oh, okay.
Simplicity.
Right.
We've got to simplify life down to those things that are most important to us and focus on them and let the extraneous go.
If you could eliminate something in the world, what would you want to eliminate?
Well, for lack of a better word, I'll just call it evil or bad.
Okay.
The way we treat one another. You look across our world right now, and we have the ability to feed everyone who is hungry. We have the resources to house everyone who is homeless. We have the ability to clothe everyone who has no clothes. And yet we don't.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough.
And I would change that.
Yeah, that's a pretty big one, eh?
It's a big one.
Yeah, it's a huge. in life, I think we're often proud of something that we've done. So my question for you, what is something in your life that you're proud of?
The number one thing I am proud of above everything in this life are my kids. Mm-hmm. I have four of the most fantastic children you will ever meet. They are caring. They are compassionate. They are giving individuals. I don't know where they came from, but they are wonderful, wonderful kids.
Yeah.
And we are blessed to have them.
One of the things that, okay, now I'm going to divulge just about your book, but you talk about your kids and you talk about tattoos. Where's dad on tattoos these days?
Whatever.
Nothing you can handle.
Tattoos are fine.
Yeah.
And not for me. I'm not going to have a tattoo, but they can do whatever they want.
They can do it. Well, those are generations, their thing. Bible verse as tattoos. If you could have one, what would it be?
Probably Isaiah 46, 3 and 4. It talks about being cared for from the time we were conceived through birth, right through to our gray hair and our old age, that God is faithful to take care of me regardless.
And if you were able to put that in a couple of words, what would that be?
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness, just the one word, faithfulness thing.
Right through, from right beginning through. To end.
Right through. Going back to your kids' tattoos. Sorry.
Yeah.
I know there's some Bible verses that your kids have used. What's one of your favorites?
Well, the obvious one is the one I talk about the most is Tim Jr.'s Psalms 46:10. Just says, cease striving. Cease striving. Now, that verse says in its totality, be still and know that I am God. But he honed it down to cease striving. And that is letting go of that crazy, freaked out way of thinking that says, I'm going to do this, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
And to take a step back after having done our best and being content with what our best produces.
Awesome. What a show we've been having, Tim. I've always enjoyed hanging out with you and talking to you.
Thank you, Richard. I would say the same.
If you had a final thought, maybe that you could do in 10, 15 seconds, what would it be for our listeners?
Persevere. Carry on in your course of action, even in the face of difficulty, with little or no evidence of success. Don't give up, but persevere.
Tim, thanks a lot for joining me.
You're very welcome, Richard. Thank you.
To the listeners, thank you for tuning in. Of course, you've been listening to Set for Success and with Richard Lannan. And if you got an idea, a thought, or a comment on the show, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And I want you to remember to do something, to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.